Irreverent, entertaining, cool. You're listening to LA Talk Radio.
You're listening to Wake Up Hollywood with Nikki Carulla and Eddie Pence, right here on LA Talk Radio.
Welcome, everybody, to 1846 and Custer's Last Stand. What was that?
I just wanted to do something different for the sound
bugle.
Events to start. Yeah, I wanted to get the energy
a
up.
A cavalry bugle.
Yeah, I thought it would be a good idea.
And then,
so did that.
And then a weird old guy laughing. That's the way to start off.
I just thought I would try.
Special.
I knew that you would expect the rooster, and I just kind of like. I just came up with the idea. You know what? Maybe every time I'll just do something different. That
something
he's not
else
expecting.
That yeah. You would use to wake somebody up.
Yeah,
a Calgary
yeah,
bugle.
Yeah, Calgary. That's
Calvary.
That
not Calgary.
It feels like you're in summer camp or something.
It does.
Right?
It does. Exactly. That's what it feels like.
How was your week, man?
It was wonderful. Halloween. I experienced Halloween.
Dude, I saw your kid's outfit. It was awesome.
Oh, the Hulk. That.
Dude, his picture of him passed out as the Hulk.
Hulk nap.
Best. It was so
hilarious. Hulk nap.
Tell me about your Halloween with your kid.
It was funny. He had a little Hulk outfit with like the muscles built in. So it was like, he looks jacked. He's like a 5-year-old jacked guy. Like I was jealous. Like, damn, man. It's a nice six pack.
Did you look at him and you were like, dude, I have a little muscle man.
Dude, yeah. I was like, oh, man, I want one of those outfits. And I just wear a t-shirt over top of it. Look badass. Fucking awesome. And we went we drove around because what you do in LA, since no one lives in nice neighborhoods because we're all broke, we drive to a nice neighborhood and trick-or-treat.
So where did you go?
We just went over in the valley here, over to Laurel Canyon. We went on the Laurel Terrace right over there in Studio City. It's a very like popular Halloween trick-or-treating place. Like a
really?
Lot of apparently like a lot of celebrities take their kids there. Like Will Ferrell's been known to be walk up and down that street with his kids and stuff.
It's crazy.
And it's like this one long strip of all these houses that really like go all out. And there's like thousands of kids trick-or-treating.
And, is it obnoxious? Is it
no, like, it's great. Like everyone's like friendly and it's fun. And the like all the
great.
House people in the house are sitting out on their driveways. Like just, you know.
Is Colton like, I've got the best costume.
He's like, Hulk rules. And we went up to this one person's house. He had like this dry ice all over the place. It was like really like foggy all over his front yard. I'm
that's
like, this
awesome.
Is badass. And I walk up and it's Bill Nye the Science Guy.
Dude, that's amazing.
I'm like, that's the best Bill Nye the Science. Oh, no, wait, that is Bill Nye the Science Guy. It was actually Bill Nye the Science Guy.
Did you say anything to him, or are you just like, yeah, thanks?
No, I kind of stood off and I just videotaped it because Colton didn't know who he was.
Right.
So I knew who it was from like so after I recognized who it was, and like everyone, the crowd, like everyone seemed to realize who it was at the same time. They were all standing at Bill Nye the Science Guy's porch.
You're like, of course he's got dry ass.
Yeah, of course he has dry ass. Of course this place is badass. And everybody starts going, Bill, 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 and I'm like, oh, this is too much.
Was he cool? Was he nice?
I mean, he just gave out candy.
I saw that he gave your kid the whole Milky Way.
The entire full Milky
Dude,
Way. Which is appropriate for a scientist to give out a Milky Way.
I know. I was thinking that. He's like, they'll think this is so clever. But your kid was like, give me the Milky Way.
Give me the candy.
Give
whatever.
Me the candy.
Weird old guy.
Did you dress up yourself?
Yeah, I was a Jedi.
You were a Jedi?
I was a Jedi.
You were a little disappointed you weren't part of the Hulk, though.
Well, it was just, I wish
he was independent.
I wore the same Jedi costume last year because I didn't have the money to buy an Avengers something. Because I wanted, you know, if I was going to go with the Hulk, I had to be an Avenger. But
you should have got like a Captain America outfit.
Yeah, I didn't want to buy it.
You were just like, but there's a sweatshirt. You can get a Captain America sweatshirt.
Yeah, but that's just half-assing it.
That's true. That's true.
I could have done that.
Done
I have a Superman sweatshirt, but that's just a half-ass.
Yeah, you should have done. You know, some other superhero. I know you have superhero outfits. You're looking at me like I have no superhero outfits. I know you have a Batman outfit sitting.
Yeah, but that one's trashed from years of bad sketch comedy.
Never thought I'd hear that.
What'd you do?
I actually went to Not Scary Farm.
Well, how was that? Is it scary?
Dude, I haven't been there in so long. And man, I got to tell you, it was ridiculously awesome. Like, they have done so many mazes that you can actually just go through it. And dude, it is scary as shit. I mean, it is. People are like,
do they? They're not allowed to touch you, though, right?
But they still do.
Like, they still do touch you. I thought they weren't allowed. To, like,
that's what I thought contact. Too. But like, they don't make that much contact. But a couple times, somebody will grab your neck or brush right by you or grab your foot. Like, it was crazy. My girlfriend was screaming a lot, and you know, she's always trying to scare me with like little rubber mice or stuff around the house. And I was like, you know what?
I'm gonna rubber pay mice you scare you.
Well, just it doesn't, but she makes the effort. She tries to scare me.
Have you told her like this has no? Does she keep trying with the rubber mice?
She keeps trying all.
Even
the time.
Though you never get scared of the rubber mice.
I don't. I'm like, dude, I know what you're trying to do, and it's not working.
Does she have problems in the head?
No problems. She just loves.
Like she hasn't gotten
She likes to be a little trickster.
She
sometimes.
Hasn't caught on that these rubber mice don't do anything.
She thinks that they scare me, and she wants to feel like.
Well, have you ever given her reason to think that these mice scare you?
Well, who likes mice in their house? Nobody. I mean, I don't like.
So you've obviously screamed at one of these rubber mice.
I've never screamed at the rubber mouse.
Then what makes her keep putting out the rubber mice?
Because she just likes to play the fool. She likes to play tricks.
But if you've never given her a reason to keep doing it, I don't understand why she keeps doing it.
But it's like somebody that likes to leave booby traps for somebody.
Yeah, but a booby trap is an effective thing. Like, if you get hit by the booby trap one time, then you would keep doing the booby trap.
All right, maybe the first time.
Okay, that's all I wanted. I just wanted the fact that you screamed. At a fake rubber mouse.
So I was like, I'm going to scare you. I'm going to get you back for all of this someday. And then I was like, you know what? Let's go to Not Scary Farm. She's like, what's that? I'm like, oh, it's just an amusement park. Know. So there's this
Why'd you choose that over like Universal?
I wanted to go to Universal, and I was going to go to Universal, but she'd never been to any of them. And I had been to Not Scary Farm. I hadn't been to – I still haven't been
Apparently
to
Universal. Apparently Universal's like really scary.
I heard that too. I wanted to take her to Not Scary Farm first because it's the original gangster.
Yeah.
And I just wanted her to experience that first. But they have this new pass where you can pay for a pass where you don't have to wait in any of the lines. Like not for rides too, but for all the mazes, you just walk up and they take you to a little room and they do like a whole skit and then they take you in the maze. So like we didn't wait in any lines, which was awesome. But dude, man. There was some scary, scary shit. Like mummies coming out, people with all kinds of membranes and like oozing stuff. And dude, you walk through like this dense fog in one part of the park where you literally can't even see the person next to you. And then people just come out of nowhere, like on the floor with knee pads, sliding on the ground with like, you know, like sound effects and stuff. It's gnarly. It's pretty awesome. So I usually love to dress up. And this year, because I was doing a bunch of stuff during the day. I just didn't have time to get a costume, and she was so wiped. She was like, I don't really want to go out. I'm like, dude, it's Halloween. We're going out. So
where'd you go?
We went to Not Scary.
Oh, let's like go.
So I dragged her out, and I was like, you know what? We don't need a costume. Let's just go have a good time and go crazy. So it was kind of gnarly. And then yesterday, or like Saturday night, I saw two of my favorite artists. I saw Tedeschi Trucks Band. Derek Trucks, one of the best slide guitarists of all time, and Gary Clark Jr. play at the Greek. And then my buddy who played on Fade Away, the last EP I did, he is playing bass for them now. So he got us all passes. I went with another couple friends of mine. We all went backstage and we hung out with all the musicians. I got Derek Trucks' contact info. We're going to play on the next record. We talked about it like 6 months ago and confirmed details about it this time. It was just very surreal. The whole thing was amazing. And then last night, a friend of mine tipped me off. Zane, who
he was a guest a couple weeks ago.
He told me, hey, you should come to the show tonight because John Mayer is going to be a special guest. And he was like, man, my guest list is like packed just because he had a bunch of labels there last night. So I bought tickets and it was he and David Ryan Harris, who I'm a huge fan of already, who also played with Mayer. And Mayer came out and played, and it was just, like, amazing. It was totally packed. My girlfriend's a diehard John Mayer fan. She finally got to meet him. I actually introduced her to John Mayer and David Ryan Harris and all those guys. And
it was a hot and heavy night for you last night.
And then
she freaked out
because she got a picture. She was the only person in the entire room to get a picture with him. So she was freaking out because that's what she's been waiting her whole life for. And it was great because he was watching David sit like 2 feet from us. So I got to talk to him a lot and I got to talk to his engineer and some of his other musicians who I know who are going to be guests. And a bunch of his band members who I'm good friends with are going to be guests in the next couple of months. Wow. So super stoked about having them on the show.
That's awesome.
Super stoked about, you know, getting to meet him again. And it's been a jam-packed weekend. Today was my first day off, like, in a long time, so I literally did nothing.
You slept?
I slept a lot, and I watched this badass, I actually wanted to talk about it, this badass James Brown documentary called Mr. Dynamite, The Rise of James Brown. You got to see this thing. It is incredible.
Is it on Netflix or something?
It's on it'll be on Netflix in probably like a month. It just was released on HBO like maybe 2 weeks ago. Mm. Mick Jagger produced it because he's a huge James Brown fan. And man, it is an amazing documentary on James Brown. It just talks about how he grew up, but it like goes through that really quickly and just goes from when he was like working as an artist, what he went through. He funded a lot of his first records and his biggest records. He owned radio stations. They talk about his civil rights, the civil rights movement, how he was involved. Like, it was incredible. It was really, really well done. And especially after seeing the James Brown movie that came out, it's like more in depth. It like gives more details of the stuff that they touched upon. But it was amazing. So I just saw that earlier today. So it was a pretty lazy day, but very insightful.
That was good for you. Good for you.
Oh, I think our special guest is here. Let's welcome Grammy Award-winning recording engineer Daryl Thorpe. How are you, Daryl? Come on in. Come on in. Yeah, watch out for the studio audience.
Don't trip.
So, you know, you and I have worked together. It's been a couple of years since I've seen you.
Yes.
But you and I have worked together on one of my records, Acoustic B-Sides and Rarities, which is actually one of my favorite records that I've made with you. And you've done some incredible things and worked with some incredible bands. Why don't you tell Eddie and all of our listeners who you've worked with, and then we'll get into how you got into music and all that.
Isn't it supposed to be somebody else that tells, that says?
Okay, I'll say it. So Daryl has actually
so
worked.
Humble.
I hate self-promotion.
You're so humble, even though you're wearing your Grammy around your neck. That's really weird. You would walk in here with your Grammy hanging around your neck.
Daryl has worked with Radiohead. He's worked with Beck. He's worked with Paul McCartney. He's worked with Switchfoot and a whole lot of other bands.
Yeah.
He's Nigel Goodrich's like
Godrich.
Engineer. Yeah, Godrich. Oh, sorry, Nigel.
I don't know if he's listening.
Godrich.
Yeah.
God, he's arrogant. Yeah. Godrich. Faith, money.
He didn't pick his name, though.
You don't know that.
I met his parents. They didn't.
Oh, they're the God Riches.
They're God Riches. Riches,
yes. They're God. They're rich.
Unless he changed his name, they're like, that's a fucking good name. We're changing our name now too.
They're like, seriously,
we're now God the rich? God Riches.
Yeah, we're not now the God Riches. We're gonna take your name. So Nigel Godrich is a great producer. He's produced Paul McCartney and Beck and Radiohead and others. And I think he's done Nine Inch Nails too. I think he's done some. Hasn't he done some?
No. I don't think he's ever. No,
you're wrong.
I'm sorry, so off.
No,
I thought. No, I read it. I read it somewhere. He mixed Nine Inch Nails record.
Possibly.
Yeah, yeah. He definitely did because I looked it up on Wikipedia a week ago.
And Wikipedia is known for its facts.
No, they are known for the facts. But you've worked in some of the biggest studios, not only in L.A. but also in London.
Yes.
You won a Grammy for Hail to the Thief, correct?
Yes, Hail to the Thief.
And he won it, Eddie, for Best Engineer of the Year, which is, as far as recording engineers,
it's the
pinnacle.
Creme de la creme of
it's
awards.
Like, it's like the Best Actor, Oscar.
Yes,
Oscar.
It really is. And I was explaining that to, I think, my mom earlier. But
it's like the Guy Who Lost His Life award.
Yes, it really is. Like, for recording engineers especially, it is the top of the heap. It is like what you aspire to reach as far as... if I am going to get a Grammy, that's the one I want.
Yeah, it's an amazing honor, especially among your peers, to win. Especially because, shit, I listen to records that I'm like, dude, this sounds amazing. Like, there's just so many talented guys out there.
Do you remember the nominees that you were nominated with?
No.
You're like, I don't remember the losers.
Not those hacks.
A fellow engineer, Tal Herzberg, who's no longer with us, he was nominated for something. I don't remember what the exact records were. It'd be interesting to go back and look.
Yeah, maybe you should.
I should go back and look.
What record were you nominated for?
That year?
Radiohead, Hail to the Thief.
Okay. Yeah,
Hail to the Thief.
Which is a great record, man. That's like one of my favorite records. It's a badass record. If you haven't heard it, you
did
need to hear.
Did you get to give an acceptance speech and everything?
I did give an acceptance speech, and I was so nervous that I...
You just thanked yourself and walked off?
Yeah, I did.
Good for you.
I was standing there like a moron going...
I thank myself. Good night, everybody.
I'm
I worked hard for this.
I deserve this. Thank you.
I'm really good, so thank you very much.
Thank you to myself.
I'm available for sessions.
I can't find any more, and I should. I should dig through my hard drive, like my backup of my hard drive, because I did find a picture of me on the stage, because they don't do that's an award that's not broadcast for.
Yeah, it's like that. They hold like the day before, yeah, 2 days
no,
before.
No, it's earlier. It's
same day. Oh, same day.
3 hours same before.
Day. Were you in a tuxedo?
No, I just wore a suit because I was so crazy. We were in the middle of Beck, the information, when that.
Oh, wow. Grammys. Really?
Yeah, yeah. So, and I remember I flew to Northern California to buy a console for Beck, and then came back, got off the plane, went and got my hair cut, and then.
On the same day?
This was like Saturday morning. I got back into late Saturday afternoon. I got back into town, and then I went and got my hair cut and then picked up my suit from the cleaners, and it was just kind of like this whirlwind
weekend. Did you think you'd had a good chance?
Did you have a speech prepared?
No, I didn't have any, because I honestly didn't think I was going to win, man. Come on. I just didn't, no way, especially the class of peers that you're always, it's such like an amazing honor, and when it happens, like when they said my name and Nigel's name, it was like, come on,
like seriously,
what? Seriously, what?
Dude, you must have been a little bit stunned.
I was totally stunned. Stunned, you know, not even thinking, because I sat way in the back too, because I was like, there's no way. And so when they said my name,
they had to
the
wait.
Guy was like, it was David Foster. I mean, come on.
Yeah, that's amazing.
And so David Foster said my name and Nigel's name, and then the lights are on him, and he couldn't see, and then he was like, oh, they must not be here.
Oh, and then you're I'm kind of
like, I'm here.
You know, I was kind of chugging down the hall, the aisleway, and then somebody goes, he's here, they're here, somebody's here. And
wow. That is crazy, yeah. Dude. That is amazing.
Yep.
Was it one of those surreal moments where you're like,
next time you're sitting up front.
Totally.
Yeah. You're getting a full tux, sitting up front, hopefully. Writing a speech.
Hopefully.
You were like jogging to the podium. I'd like to thank.
You got
to
stand up before they even say the name.
No, I did that.
This is mine. I got this. Everybody.
The stupid thing was they had like a standing mic that just was attached to the platform.
Right.
And it was kind of. Chest, and I'm tall, so it was chest high. So I bent over like an idiot so I could lean into the thing. Like, oh, they got to hear me, so let me get close to
let everybody hear the speech I haven't prepared.
Yeah. And that's the photo when I found it.
So it looks like you're making online, out the microphone.
I'm bent over in my suit, like, with my hands.
Yeah, you never get those moments back.
No, you don't.
No.
You don't get to do those over
again. Those are frozen in time.
Yep.
Those are frozen forever in time.
Frozen in time.
It was a magical experience, right? You would say?
That was Tinkerbell.
Frozen. So let me ask you, as a person that I don't know anything about music other than
that's
that.
That's why
other than
him.
Yeah, exactly. Other than you listen to it, that's about all I know.
Yes.
What does a sound engineer do?
There's several roles of a sound engineer between the basic recording process, which is generally when a band or an artist hires a band and comes in and does like the basic tracking, which usually is drums, bass, guitar, or keyboards, or a combination of.
Like when you're impressed. Like when you record, you're recording everything separately, and then you mix it
yes.
together.
Yeah, so there's three processes. Well, there's four processes. There's the recording, the right. basic tracking is what we call. Then the overdub part, which is when you go, oh, I just want a specific guitar part. So you just concentrate on.
Would you fucking knock it off? I'm trying to learn here.
I know. I'm listening.
What are you doing? Asshole. Such an asshole.
So you just focus on one part at a time, either guitar or vocals or a vocal, excuse me. And then there's the mixing process, which is when you take all the instruments and blend them together.
When you record, though, are you recording? If you have the whole band recording at the same time in the studio,
yeah, you can.
Or you just have like one guy playing drums listening to everything else.
Usually you start with drums, but okay. The second thing I'm going to play for you tonight is an artist, Preston Lovingood. This song, we piecemealed it. Like, he came in, I made a loop for him to play to. He played guitar, then he sang to it. Then I got our friend Jevin Bruni, who's in a amazing keyboard, came down, played keys, played bass synth on it, and keys on it. And then last, we got friend of ours, Leslie Van Treese, to play guitar and drums.
Right.
So it was a total piecemeal song.
So that's amazing.
Can you take, like, I have like a film background, and I know like how much you can manipulate a film through editing.
Yeah.
Like you can completely change the narrative and the story. Can you completely change a song?
Yes.
Yeah, absolutely.
Especially
from beginning to end? Yes. Like
every part. It's almost retarded.
Interesting.
That's a bad thing.
And in some ways, it's a bad thing.
You made it sound like a bad thing.
In some ways, it's a good thing.
Right. Okay, I was just saying, I didn't know you could do that with music. To me, in my head,
I can change the tempo. I can change.
He can make it fast. He can make it slow. He can change the pitch.
Because music in my head seems linear. Like there's a beginning, middle, and end. Like you start a song and you end a song.
Not
like,
anymore.
You can just completely tweak it completely. I can record you and make you sound like a female.
Well, I can do that without
with
you recording
help.
It.
Yeah.
And Melodyne.
It was interesting. I didn't know you could manipulate music to that degree.
But, engineers are like, they are so imperative to the process. Because literally...
Well, that's not what you said before he got here.
No, that's not true. They literally are one of the most important parts because it's like... They're going to listen for things that maybe an artist or a musician wouldn't. You know, maybe it's like a mic being overwhelmed with the sound. You know, maybe it's levels peaking for something. Maybe it's something doesn't like – maybe a cable's not in right or it's, you know, it's cutting in and out. You know, little things like that that you may not catch at every part. You know what I mean? Would you say that would be true? Like you listen to songs differently? Because that's been my experience.
Oh, I don't. That's why it's hard for me to just actually sit down and listen to music.
Yeah, it's like that.
And enjoy it because I can't turn my brain off.
Yeah, because you pull it apart.
Pull it apart. That's the first thing to do.
It's the same thing with like watching TV and film, like at least with me being, you know, I went through film school and I made things. It's like you can't, it takes a very special movie or film for me to lose myself into
it. Yeah. I have to be like a huge fan of an artist or something in order just to listen to it for the song part of it, the songwriting.
Well, let's play something that you brought in to start things off. You want to play that song that you were talking about first?
Sure.
That'd be great.
This is Preston Lovinggood is his name. That's a name.
Preston Lovinggood.
Lovinggood or porno name. It is a porno name.
I hope he's listening.
I hope he is too, because that's an excellent porno name. Wrong profession, my friend.
Preston was in a band called Wild Sweet Orange. And they had some decent success, and then the band broke up years ago. And Preston's probably one of my top five favorite. The guy's just such an amazing songwriter. And a friend of mine signed him to his small, amazing indie label. And I talked him into giving us some money so we could go cut Preston's record. And this is the first thing we did.
Right. And what's the name of the song? Or?
Sun Song.
Sun Song?
Recorded digitally?
Yes.
Okay, cool.
Here it goes.
Mark you with that.
so beautiful. Our studio audience loved it. Double applause in stereo.
My God.
Hardy, har, har, har.
So you just had you fade that sucker out. I forgot how long the fade was.
So, not only was the song super awesome, it was a great song, great arrangement. It actually was very reminiscent of like a Beck, like like an indie, like Elliott Smith,
yeah.
A Beck, like in that vein. And, dude, while we were listening to the song, I just asked Daryl if he happened to work on one of my favorite records of the year, Beck's Morning Phase, and he said he recorded every single note on that record, and that seriously is one of my favorite records of the year. It is beautiful. It is well produced. It is well arranged. It is well engineered. It is well recorded. It is seriously one of the best records of the year. I voted for it for a couple Grammys, so hopefully you'll get another one, man.
Thank you very much.
Yeah, man. It was great. So let's go back to how you got into music, because we didn't really talk about that. How did you get into music? How did you get into engineering? How did this all begin for you?
I worked at a church many, many years ago. And funny enough, I saw him again after... What did he say? Something like 22 years or 20-something years. The guy who sort of got me into this whole madness, Rafael Carmine is his name. He lives in Sacramento now. And he taught me a lot of the basics, and so I've got into the live sound world, and I got sort of bit by the bug of just the nuance of, like, how do you make a record? Like,
yeah.
Putting headphones on and listen to an album going...
How do you do this?
How did they do this?
And now wizards. Wizardry.
And it all started at church.
and now I'm like, now I know how they do it. No. So
and now I hate music.
And I went to recording school.
Which one?
Conservatory Recording Arts in Phoenix,
Arizona.
Because I'm from Arizona. So
okay, that's right.
Kind of made sense to me. And it was a good program. It basically gave you the good, really good, solid foundational building blocks of recording, how to, what we call in the business, signal flow, basically the process of microphone to console to tape machine, out of tape machine, and to monitor fader to monitor pop to how we hear it.
Basically. That's awesome. Did they teach you tape and digital?
Yeah, because tape was still a thing. A thing.
And now it's not.
Because I tell my friends, myself, Joseph, Chris, Stefan, Viv, like we're the kind of like the dying breed of the analog days. Like,
but dude, that's still the best. I love the way that sounds.
It sounds amazing. The problem is one, tape is horribly manufactured right now.
Yeah.
And two, if you get a reel of tape and you're willing to spend the money, a reel of tape costs.
$250 bucks or something
more,
like that,
right? Almost like $300, and you have 24 tracks. So basically, you have 24 instruments, and you only have 30 minutes on a reel of tape. Where that's $300.
Yeah. Well, it's like film. It's like shooting on film, and now everything's going digital. I mean, it's just.
But it sounds so much better.
Well, film looks so much better. Yeah, but, I agree. You know.
And two, you can buy. I know you can buy two G-Tech hard drives of terabytes for $150 bucks a pop.
Yeah.
And do.
You just have to know where to shop, though, because I just bought 20 reels of Scotch 250.
What?
Yeah, dude, for my next record. And dude, that is tape you cannot find, and I got it for $50 a reel.
I hope it holds up because you know it sheds.
Yeah,
horribly.
I know. It's well preserved. It's well taken care of.
Good luck.
Yeah,
it's up his butt.
No, I've actually done the last two records. I've mixed to Scotch 250 on the last two records.
Oh.
And man, that tape, I've never recorded to it. So I'm like, oh my God, let me find every reel I can find.
It's going to be one take Jake's.
Yeah. That's how it's got to be, though. But I'd prefer that. I'd rather have that. Or just record it all to Pro Tools and then dump it all there. So that's the world that, you know, like it, just like film, it looks better when you use actual reels of tape.
I mean,
have
nowadays,
you seen that,
economic-wise.
Have you guys seen that South Park about...
The production?
The Lord.
Yes.
Like Lord.
Oh, my God. Eddie,
I didn't see
that?
I haven't recorded. I haven't watched it yet.
You're
I haven't watched
love it.
It.
That's
I'm behind about a month and a half of my South Park.
Asking, like, manipulating, it's almost what he does in the thing. It's pretty close to reality.
Okay. I'll have to go home and watch that now.
But, you know, you are working with all kinds of artists. And
yes.
Who else are you going to play us that you have that's on the CD? I want to make sure we get all of your songs that you brought with it.
Oh, my This is a record I did about 7 years ago with my really good friend, Jeffrey Kane. Jeffrey was in Remy Zero. He was the principal songwriter of Remy Zero. And the band broke up, and he's such a prolific songwriter. And I heard a couple of songs that he was working on, and I was just like, you got to do a record, man. And he was like,
he's really?
Yeah.
That's amazing. I think you actually were talking about this record when we were working together.
Oh, I'm sure. I'm sure. Because it's still one of my favorite things that I recorded and co-produced.
That's awesome. Well, let's hear it. Let's hear it. What's the name of the song?
It's well, his project name is called Dead Snares, and the song is called Right Before Your Eyes.
All right. Here we go.
Here we go. Yeah, we were just talking while the song was playing. It's very Peter Gabriel-ish meets David Bowie. I love the sound.
Yeah, Jeffrey's a huge fan.
And that snare sound is so dope. I know it used to be a sample.
Called, my bad. It's called These Dirty Streets, not Right Before Their Eyes.
Oh, you just got talked.
Sorry, Jeffrey.
So where can we find you? Let's get you all your Twitter handles and all that stuff just before we
play. I'm at Daryl Thorpe. Oh, it's just at Daryl Thorpe.
Okay. At Daryl Thorpe. Yeah,
you don't need... spell it. Spell it, because you have
because
two R's.
My well, it's D A R R E-L-L.
E, two L's.
Double R, double L.
Double R,
double L. Double R, double L.
D-A, double R, E, double L.
And no E on the Thorpe.
Ah.
Thank you.
So Thor with a P.
Yeah. Yeah.
Do you have a website, like a landing website, landing page that shoots you everywhere? DarylThorpe.com. DarylThorpe.com. Thorpe.
Thorpe.com.
Yes.
Thorpe.
And what you were about to ask, you were just about to ask him something.
No, I was taking a deep breath.
You were just like.
I was just taking a deep breath.
You were in suspense. I like that. It was a little bit like this.
It was absolutely nothing like that.
Is it like this?
It's too much.
I should have done this long. During the Halloween bits.
Yeah, let's do it the week after. Let's do election night. That's appropriate.
Daryl, who are you working with now?
What's that?
It's the same thing.
I know.
It really is, actually.
It's scary. It's all scary.
Who are you working with now? You said you're recording some newer bands, right?
There's this amazing band that got in touch with me a couple months ago. I heard their demos. The songwriting's incredible. Opus Vitae. It's Opus their Vitae. New... Their first endeavor as a band. It's really good. I'm really excited to finish it. I'll get it done this week, I hope, and then I can...
Like an indie band?
Is total it, indie band, yeah. It's a four-piece.
Is it any players that are on it?
Well, they're all... Basically, they're all in the band.
Okay.
So they hail from the Silver Lake, Echo Park area.
Okay.
And
so it's hipster-esque?
A lot of skinny jeans?
Yeah. No. No. Actually, no.
Beards? No. A lot of beards?
A few
beards. Fedoras? Got some fedoras?
No fedoras.
No fedoras? No. Okay, that's not too bad.
No. But I
what's the style?
They have like a really good pop, kind of alternative rock feel to them as well. And
it's like Imagine Dragons-ish.
Yeah.
What makes you want to work with someone? Like a band. Do you just do jobs for money, or are you at a point where you pick who you want to work with, like the bass and sound?
You know, unfortunately, I wish I was at the point to where I could just cherry pick what I wanted, but that's not the case.
Right. We got to keep the lights on somewhere.
I got to keep the lights on, man. So, like Preston was something I wanted to do because of his talent.
It's a passion project.
It's a passion project. So, in this Opus Vitae, same thing, passion project.
Cool.
What about Beck Morning Phase? That's got to be like, okay, this is going to be awesome.
That's just keeping the lights on really bright.
Yeah.
A little bit longer.
A little bit longer.
Just
now.
A little
keeping
bit
the lights.
Yeah, it was a long project, so it was good. I was completely burnt out by the time we ended that record, and I got horribly sick, of course, too.
Well, you get all worn down when you work that hard.
Yeah, you just get
your immune system.
Long sessions.
Yeah, it was. We were doing 6-day weeks.
And you said Beck produced that. Do you find it? How do you? Would you rather work with the artist who's also the producer, or bring in, or have a producer between you and the artist?
It's more and more. It seems like most of the artists that I'm working with are producing themselves.
Yeah, that just seems the way that's going in all the arts these days. Like,
yeah,
well, it's cheaper.
It's cheaper. For one.
Well, yeah.
And it, you know, like sometimes an artist has vision.
Yeah,
like I would never expect like a pop artist to produce themselves. I need that sound bite, dude.
That's
perfect. We're gonna have to isolate that and see if we can get.
But you
that.
Know, some people can't produce themselves.
Yeah, well, that's true. But then you have the artists like a Prince or a Beck or you know somebody like that wants to produce themselves and has the vision. And man, Morning Phase literally is such a beautiful record, man.
Thank you.
I was just telling Daryl, I was like dry humping his leg, telling him, like, seriously, man, this is like my favorite.
No,
record.
You can tell your end of the table is raised up pretty high. I could tell what's going on.
Seriously, Eddie, cut it out.
Why was the fart sound? That makes
because I was just like saying, bah humbug.
Didn't read.
So what's the third song you want to play us?
Well, the third one was you asked me to bring something from Radiohead, Hail the Thief.
Yeah, let's bring something from the Grammy Award winning record.
This is how you got your bling, right?
This is how you
got
your
bling. And I chose this track.
It's getting emotional.
Puberty. Yeah. Puberty happens at the most unexpected times.
I chose this track because this is the one that was actually...
The money.
The money. Yeah, the money track. No, we cut it. All in L.A., like it was all done here, and if memory serves me, we did it in a day. Like, it was done in a full day. And it was just such an amazing... And I remember months and months went by. We hadn't heard it. And then Nigel asked me to put it up. This record was done all on tape. And
really?
Yeah.
Oh, my God. I didn't know that.
Yeah, it was kind of like the dying days of analog tape.
Now, how much creative do you put into... Are you taking more directions and you're helping with the technical aspects? Are you more
as an engineer? I'm usually helping with the technical aspects of things. Usually,
do you have any creative input?
Well, in the case of like with Beck, I have a lot of creative input, especially when it comes to how something's going to be recorded, because that is a creative input decision. Whether it's a big drum sound in a room or a really dead. Tight, dry drum sound in a booth.
Like, how's this drum sound?
Could you put that on the Beck album?
Yes, I could.
If you wanted to.
So the Beck album, you have your thumbprint is definitely on that.
My thumbprint is definitely on that. And there was times when it was his vision to do something, and I would just execute it. Right. And there was times when I would just do what I heard.
Now, do you like having the creative? Do you get a thrill out of the creative aspect of it, or would you rather just go and be told?
Out of the creative aspect of it, because when I'm just recording something for somebody, which I'm totally happy to do, and I do get phone calls throughout the year just to do. I'm literally just recording something as best as I possibly can for somebody, and they're telling me exactly what instruments they want to use and how they want it to be recorded, and I'm like, cool, dude, yeah, no problem. I enjoy the creative aspect of it because I get to shape something like the Preston thing.
Yeah.
That was all mine.
So I think people don't understand, like, just people listen to music. They just think it's the artist and that's what the music is. They don't realize that there's a person there also helping mold and shape
the
music.
Preston was all me. I made all the decisions on how it was going to be recorded and how it was going to be done.
That's awesome. And then, what mics to use.
And then the Dead Snares was a collaboration between myself and Jeffrey.
Right. See, that's great, because I just don't think people understand like what the engineer puts into.
Well, that's why I wanted to have. That's why I brought in engineers as guests, because there's such an important.
Well, people just think engineer; they just automatically think technical. Like, okay, you just press a button.
That is a big part of our job, the technical aspect. But
to bring in the creative aspect of it too is.
Yeah, and that role is changing more and more, because it used to be there was a defined role as a producer, and then there was a defined role as an engineer.
And now the lines are all blurred.
Now the lines are really blurred. And then in some cases...
Well, especially since everything's gone so more digital and electronic. I mean, you have more flexibility to play with things, right?
Yeah.
As opposed to before, when it was just basically recorded an instrument to tape.
I don't call myself... I'd say 80% of my work is mixing. And it's not... I don't call it mixing, which is the final stage of the... The blending all the instruments together to create a song, which you hear. I don't really call myself a mixer anymore. I call myself a fixer.
Oh, I like that.
I fix everybody's bad mistakes.
Well, one of the things with what I love to do, and the reason why I love having engineers on sessions, is because
just to mess with us.
I really like the creative. I like the creative input they give. I like bouncing ideas off of them, because
I think sometimes the artists get so focused in on what they want that they can't see from the outside. So I think it helps that to have someone.
Daryl's like helped me with some of the songs that I've arranged, where I'm like, do you think this is a little crazy? And he'll be like, no. Or sometimes I'll be like, let's put the brakes on right here.
Reel it in, Nikhil. Yeah,
let's not get too crazy.
Let me stop you before you hurt yourself.
All right, well, let's play the Grammy Award winning track that you brought in. This is Radiohead. What's the name of the song?
We Suck Young Blood.
We Suck Young Blood.
But what's the song name?
That's very fitting for Election Day.
Are you begging for break?
Track, I always think of, like, it's got to be in a Tim Burton movie because it's just haunting melodies, just
that was
beautiful.
The whole point.
It's awesome. Awesome. Has that ever been featured in a movie?
It's, I don't know. Why not?
Yeah, damn straight. You heard it here first.
Why not?
So, once again, what are your Twitter handles and Facebook and all that stuff?
Twitter is at Daryl Thorpe.
DARRELL Thorpe.
And Facebook is Facebook.com/DFThorpe.
Can you get all that stuff from your webpage? Are there links to get everything? So just go to DarrellThorpe.com.
DARRELLThorpe.com. Dude, Daryl, you are such a champ, and man, we had such a great time having you on as a guest. This is
it's very
reunion.
Interesting to hear from that side of the business. People don't really take, I think, take for granted a lot when they hear music.
Oh, it's that's one of the reasons why I wanted to bring more engineers. I've got a couple. Brian Vibberts is coming on that as well. Because it's like, I feel like everybody gets the artist, everybody gets the producer, and then the engineer never really gets that much awareness or attention of what the role is that they're doing, and they're integral to the whole session.
It's kind of nice to be behind the scenes, though. You can walk down the street.
Yeah, yeah, you can have a normal life.
Sort of.
Kind of.
Did you say walk or streak down the street?
Both. Depends on...
If it's a Wednesday.
Anyway, thank you guys for tuning in. For our guest Daryl Thorpe.
Thank you very much. Gotta get the
Nikhil Garula. I'm Eddie Pence. Good night, everybody.
Good night, everybody.
You're listening to Wake Up Hollywood with Nikki Garula and Eddie Pence. Right here on LA Talk Radio.